Good morning, everyone. Appreciate your presence here very, very much. It's time to begin our worship service at the Central Church of Christ in Johnson City, Tennessee. We have a good number in the building and we have a good number online, and we appreciate all of them. Glad you're with us, whichever way you are. I'd like to begin our worship service today with a scripture that Jesus Own Words, and it's a good sermon. And blessed are the poor in spirit. This, by the way, this is in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the mourning, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted and for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. A good sermon within itself. And now we're going to worship in song.
Christ for the world.
Be seated, please.
Pray.
This time we will go to our Father in prayer.
Let us bow. Our most gracious and righteous Heavenly Father, we acknowledge your love and your mercy and your kindness and also your forgiveness, Lord. We realize even before the foundation of the world, Lord, you created a plan of salvation and you asked your only begotten Son that he would carry out that. He came to this earth and he led a perfect life. He gave us that example. But the only sacrifice that you would accept would be the sinless sacrifice of your Son. He did that on an old rugged cross. He rose the third day and he's ascended back with you. Heavenly Father, in times of walking in darkness, we look to your light, which is your word. We look to the example of your Son that was given for us. Heavenly Father, help us in our struggles to fight the evil one, that we will look to that word. We realize, Heavenly Father, that word will judge us in the last day. He tells us that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. We pray, Heavenly Father, we have the faith to acknowledge that and use it in our lives. Heavenly Father, we look at throughout history and realize that mankind would try to guide his own steps and realizing he can't do it. We only look, Heavenly Father, to Ukraine and realize it. So many tragic things have happened to the men and women over there because of such an evil dictator. We pray, Heavenly Father, that your will be done in that and we'll accept your will. Heavenly Father, now as we enter into the time to worship in song and spirit and truth, we pray, Heavenly Father, for Tim as he brings this word to us, that realizing, Heavenly Father, that we'll be judged by that word. Help us, Heavenly Father, acknowledge how great you are. We love you, Heavenly Father, but sometimes our actions don't speak that love. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that that blood can be applied again, that we can be justified in your sight. And Heavenly Father, if there be one here in this audience or tuning in by whatever means, that you will prick their hearts, that word will reach fertile soil. Heavenly Father, help us to always do your will, mold our hearts. You are the potter and we're the clay, and help our hearts to be molded in that way. We ask, Heavenly Father, now as we continue in worship to you, we do so in spirit and in truth. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would like to use the hymnal for the invitation hymn, it will be 792. So you could have that ready if you choose to. 792, My Eyes Are Dry. And before the scripture reading and the lesson, we will sing, Christ, We Do All Adore Thee.
Thank you. Now is the time, if your child is attending the training class this morning, to go ahead and they can exit at this time. I want to remind you of the child's training class this morning. You can exit at this time if that be your decision. Scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. This is from the English Standard Version. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but afterwards he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'"
We are here because we do adore Christ. I hope that's your motivation, that you are drawn to come out to worship the Lord, that you're not here just by habit or because somebody made you come, but because you've come to realize Jesus is amazing and he has done so much for us. And so, yes, we want to come and proclaim Christ. We do all adore thee. What a wonderful way to begin our worship service. And we're so glad that you are with us today. We have another excellent number in the building with us this morning. And we know we have many others that are with us online, whether watching or listening. And again, we're looking forward to the day when we can all be back together. And that day may be in heaven. I mean, of course it will be if we all make it there. But we'd love to be able to all get together again this side of heaven and encourage one another and enjoy each other's company and smiles. And it's just great to be together again. Will we ever take for granted this blessing of being able to assemble to worship God? I hope not. Because now that we've been without it, we know how much it means to us. So we're so thankful that you are with us today. Lord willing, this evening at 6 o'clock, we will again meet. And our plan is to meet outside. That's one thing that we really took to when we were doing things differently during the pandemic, was having occasional worship services outside. And today is going to be very nice. It's going to be very warm. And we'd love for you to come out and join us for that outdoor worship service. If you have camp chairs, bring those, please. If you don't, you can borrow some from downstairs. Just be sure to put them back. But let's come out and worship God in his cathedral and the great outdoors that he has created. And it's always a good thing. We're going to finish our series on instructive psalms at that time. And we're going to focus on Psalm 78. Psalm 78. So if you want to be reading ahead, and I hope you do, then that's what we're going to be focused on this evening. Now let's get our Bibles out. I hope you've got your Bible with you and that you will turn and follow in your Bible, whether it is print or electronic. Let's look together in the Word of God and help each other come to a better understanding of what he has said in that Word. In the upper left corner of my windshield, there is a sticker that says, when you have reached this mileage or this date, bring your car back for an oil change. I'll have to confess, it's a little bit beyond that now. Not by much, but by a little bit. But is it mandatory? I mean, is it really that important that we do that? I can ignore that. I can choose to ignore the recommendation to return my car for an oil change, but I do so to my own jeopardy.
Because cars wear out, and they wear out quicker if we don't keep them well maintained. And so there's a reason for that sticker in the upper left corner of my windshield, and I would do well to pay attention to it and get my car back so that the oil can be changed. You heard in Luke chapter 18, the passage that was read for us a few moments ago, Luke chapter 18, verses 1, and we're going to look at verse 8, because in between was the parable of the persistent widow. But notice again what Luke says was the reason for this parable. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. And that word always, that causes us to stop and say, wait a minute, does that mean always? Well, that's what Luke says. We ought always to pray. Now, I don't think it means that every moment of our waking hours, and maybe even try to stay awake, and we're always praying. I think we have life to go about. But I think the idea there is that prayer ought to be a regular feature of our lives, and not just something now and then. Now drop down to verse 8, where Luke adds this comment, or Jesus adds the comment, following the parable of the persistent widow. I tell you, he will give justice, talking about that unrighteous judge. He will give justice to them speedily. I'm sorry, it was talking about the Father who will give justice speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Now, where did that comment come from? Will he find faith on earth? He'd been talking about prayer, praying always. What's faith got to do with it? Well, I think it has everything to do with it, actually. Because it's my faith that says I need prayer. Because let's be honest, in our lives, in our busy lives, prayer often gets shuffled to the back. We don't have time in the morning. We're too rushed to get ready to go to work, to school. At night, we're so exhausted, we just fall asleep. And prayer often gets neglected. Is that why Jesus said, will I find faith? Will people really believe that they need prayer? And so this morning, I want to share with you three reasons why I need prayer daily. I need it regularly. And this is not an exhaustive list. I mean, the lesson may exhaust you. But the list could go much further than what I'm going to give you. And so three reasons why I need prayer daily. And I suspect you'll be able to say, well, that's me too. For those same reasons, I need to be more regular in my prayers to God. Let's begin, number one, with the idea that I need to pray daily for wisdom. I need to pray daily for wisdom. If you've been abroad, if you've traveled to a foreign country, you probably know the value of having a guide. Now, whether it is a professional guide or a friend, it's the same idea. I remember the first time I left the country, I flew into the airport at Lima, Peru, and I was just very, very nervous. I didn't speak Spanish. There was just a mass of people everywhere, and how wonderful to see my son over in the distance saying, hey, Dad, I'm over here, and showing me where I needed to go. And that guide is something that we need to get us through life in a foreign country. And the same is true with this life. This is the first time we've ever been through this life. And there's a lot of situations that we're just not familiar with, and we don't have the needed information to get us to where we're going. Wisdom is God's answer to that. And when you see that in the Bible, you say, well, yeah, that makes sense. For example, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, and you'll see a good example of this. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Solomon is now the king over Israel. His father David had reigned for 40 years, and now David's gone. And people had leaned so heavily on David. He was such a good king, such a righteous king, but now he's gone. And so Solomon is now king, and apparently it had not been too long since he had become king when he had this dream at night. And so the Lord asks him in the dream, tell me, what would you like? Tell me what you want me to do. I mean, talk about a blank check. That's what God was giving Solomon. What would you like? And so now in verse 9, Solomon sums up his request. He says, give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people? And he says, I want to have an understanding mind. And I think it's not a far leap to say, well, that's a prayer for wisdom. That's what he's asking. I need to know how to make the right decisions at various times throughout my reign. Lord, give me that. And notice what it says in verse 10, right after he made that request, it pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. It pleased God. In other words, God is happy that he didn't ask for riches or long life or victory over his enemies. Now, he would get all of those things, God will go on to say. But you made the right request when you said, give me an understanding mind. Do you think that might be a principle that we could live by? That when we pray to God, we could ask for wisdom as well? Or look at Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 4. Nehemiah was not a king. He was a cupbearer to the king of Persia. But at this moment in Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 4, he is standing before the king. The king is saying, Nehemiah is not his happy self. What's wrong, Nehemiah? And Nehemiah says, well, I've heard that my people are living in a very vulnerable condition. The walls of Jerusalem are still not repaired. Anybody can come in and do whatever they want. And so the king says this in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4. The king said to me, what are you requesting? So I prayed to the God of heaven. Now, if you and I had been there at that moment, we might have said, well, what are you doing, Nehemiah? You're standing before the king of Persia. He wants an answer, and yet you're taking a moment or a couple of moments to pray to God? And yet I think Nehemiah would have said, I'm standing in the presence of the king of the universe. And this is a very important moment in my life. I need to ask for the right thing. I need to word it properly. I'm convinced that's why he prayed to God. It was not a long prayer, couldn't have been for that situation, but it was a prayer for guidance. And God blessed that prayer because the king gave him whatever it was he needed, let him go and help rebuild those walls. It was an amazing moment in the history of Judah. And then that brings us to James chapter 1 and verse 5. We've been looking at histories from ancient times. This is now. James is talking about this moment, right now. Here's what he says in James chapter 1 and verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, does anybody here lack wisdom? Well, if we're smart, we'll say, yeah, that's me. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now, let's understand, God has given us a great deal of wisdom in this book. And so sometimes finding the wisdom we need means reading the book. God has given that to us. But there's times in my life where God hasn't told me in this book what I should do about this situation or that situation. Lord, what do I do? James says, if you lack wisdom, ask God. And every day of our lives, we encounter those kinds of situations. How do I know what is the best thing to do? Well, let's ask God to guide us and then trust that he will help us to find the right answer. That's what James says. And N.T. Wright, in his comments on this passage, says this, how should I cope with this situation, with that tricky moment? You need wisdom, and you should ask for it. But how do I know that God will give it to me? Here, as the secret of faith, patience, and wisdom combine, we have the heart of what James wants to say. God gives generously and ungrudgingly to all people. In other words, you don't have the wisdom from God, maybe because you haven't asked, or maybe because you haven't read his word, but God gives it. If we need his guidance, He is happy to give it. And let me just add one more thing on this point. Go back to 1 Kings chapter 3 for a moment, because right before what we read in 1 Kings 3, Solomon shows his attitude. And attitude makes a huge difference when it comes to praying. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 7, Solomon said, "Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David my father. Although I am but a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in." Now, was Solomon literally a little child? No, he was a mature man. But in his mind, he said, "Lord, I don't know the answer to these issues that I'm going to encounter. I'm just like a little child. I need your help." If you don't have that humility, you're probably not going to be praying to God very often for wisdom. But when we recognize, "I'm just a little child, I don't know how to go out or come in, Lord, give me wisdom," He will. He absolutely will. I need to pray daily for wisdom. Secondly, I need to pray daily for spiritual strength. I need to pray daily for spiritual strength. Now, if any of us were to awaken tomorrow, and I hope this doesn't happen to anybody, but we wake up and we say, "Oh my goodness, I am just totally wiped out. I don't think I can even get out of bed." And we make the effort and we do get out of bed, but man, we are struggling. Our energy level is just low. How long will it take before you're on the phone or have somebody else get on the phone to your doctor and say, "I need to come in and be checked out right now"? We would probably do it right away. Well, what about spiritually? Does our spiritual strength meter sometimes dip toward empty? It does. And we're very vulnerable at times like that, that Satan can come in and just do whatever he chooses to do. Let's look again at some examples and then the principle itself. Look at Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. You know this so well. Daniel, what a great man he was, a high official now in Babylon. And yet he had enemies. And the enemies, actually by now I think it was the Persian Empire, but he had enemies, and they said, "We got to do something to get rid of Daniel." And they found the only thing we can do is trap him in his religious views and beliefs. And so they had the king sign a law that said for 30 days nobody can pray to anyone except the king. And the king signed it. It sounded good to him. And then he realized he had signed the execution order for his most trusted servant Daniel. But look at how Daniel responds to that in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, that is the law that said, you know, no, pray to no one else, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Now, it doesn't say what he prayed about, but do you doubt that Daniel asked for strength to continue doing what he had always done? Because this is right. This is the will of God. Now he knew, I'm taking a big risk. I could be arrested. I will be arrested. I'll be thrown into the den of lions. But Daniel did it. And I'm confident that prayer involved, "Give me strength to do the right thing." And obviously that prayer was answered very well. Also look at Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, verses 39 through 41. Here is even more familiar territory, because now we're talking about Jesus, the night that he would be arrested, the night that he would be taken before the high priest and the soldiers, and all the terrible things that would happen in the hours that followed. Jesus knew that was ahead. And now we find this in Matthew 26, beginning in verse 39. In the Garden of Gethsemane, going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to his disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, So you could not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus knew he needed prayer for strength. He could have buckled. He could have said, all right, I give in. I'm not who I claim to be. Don't treat me so terribly. He could have done that and escaped with his life. But he didn't, because he prayed, Father, your will be done and not mine. And then to the disciples who were not bothering to pray. I mean, it was late at night. They were very tired. But they knew. They could have known something big was about to happen. And Jesus had said, stay here and watch with me and pray. The flesh, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Does that speak to us? Now go to the book of Jude, the next to the last book of the New Testament. Jude chapter 1, the only chapter, verses 19 through the first part of verse 21. And listen to what Jude is talking about. He's talking about scoffers that are going to arise. And that would be people that come into the church and they say, what are you all doing? You know, you don't have to do this. You don't have to behave that way. They're just kind of making light of everything that's taught by inspired scripture. And Jude says, beware of that. And he says here in verses 19 through 21, it is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. Now notice that last admonition. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Because if you give in to the scoffers, they're going to take you away from it. You're going to be on your own and you don't want to be there. So how can I keep myself in the love of God? Well, he told you in the verse prior to that. Building yourself up in your most holy faith. And that's what we're trying to do right now by looking at the Word of God, understanding what he says, strengthening our faith. But don't neglect the other part, praying in the Holy Spirit. Prayer is vital. Bible study we know is vital. Prayer is vital. And without it, I'm very vulnerable. Every day we're confronted with temptations that we never expected to encounter. And why is that? Because Satan studies us. He knows us. He knows where we are weak. And he exploits those weaknesses. And my best defense is going to God on a regular basis and saying, Lord, I know Satan is going to do something today that's going to try to trip me up. Give me strength. I need prayer daily for spiritual strength. And number three, I need to pray daily for others who struggle. I need to pray daily for others who struggle. I've mentioned this before about redwood trees. I've never actually seen them myself. I want to see them at some point because they've got to be awesome. I mean, they are just tall and mighty. And with most trees, you think, well, the roots must go way, way, way down. And yet they don't. They're relatively shallow. I mean, General Sherman, one of the most famous of the redwood trees, and by the way, not the tallest of all, 275 feet in height. I mean, that's, wow. How do they stay in a standing position? Here's what one site on the internet says. The interesting thing about the redwood tree is that their root system is intertwined with the other redwood trees, literally holding each other up. The trees grow very close together and are dependent on each other for nutrients as well. Only redwoods have the strength and ability to support other redwoods. And that makes me think of your prayers for me and hopefully my prayers for you. That's what keeps us going sometimes. And we recognize there is always somebody in need of our prayers. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Acts chapter 12, verse 5, King Herod had already killed the apostle James, the first apostle to be put to death. Now he says, oh, that really tickled the Jews, the Jewish leaders. I'm going to arrest the big one, Peter. And he intended very much to put him to death the following day. He was secured in the inner prison. We go on to read later. But look at what the church is doing after they hear that Peter has been arrested. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. They were praying for Peter because he was in a really dangerous position. And as you continue reading chapter 12, he was delivered by God in a very miraculous way. And when he went to find his brethren, they're still praying. They were dedicated to praying for Peter. And then you find in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verses 30 and 31. Here you've got Paul, another apostle. Well, Paul doesn't need anything from anybody, right? Oh, he does, he says. Here's what he says, Romans 15, 30 and 31. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. So what you're saying, Paul, is you need me to pray for you? Yes. And that's what I'm saying to you. And I think you are saying to me at times, Tim, I really need your prayers. I mean, look at our daily focus. Every day, people have said, I really need my brethren to be praying for this or for that. And sometimes we don't even know the name of the individual or the need, but we know that God knows. We need to be praying for each other on a daily basis. And when somebody asks you to pray for them, don't just say, yeah, of course, and then forget about it. Prayers make a difference. I need to pray daily. In Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32, Jesus prayed for Peter. Here's what it says. Luke 22, 31 and 32. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. And that suggests a very strong temptation. And Satan's going to say, well, I've shown that this man is not worthy. But, verse 32, I, Jesus speaking now, I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. That prayer Jesus offered made the difference. Peter could have been like Judas, who was so distraught he took his own life. But Jesus prayed for him, and he didn't completely fall away. He fell away for a time, but then he was restored, and we know the rest. You see, all of us are in that situation. The Lord prays for each of us. We're told twice in the New Testament. He intercedes for us on a daily basis. Is that an example for us to follow? If Jesus prays for us, should we not also be praying for one another? We need to do it daily because others are struggling. Their eternal destiny may lie in the balance, and our prayers may make the difference. We need to pray daily. Some may be thinking, you know, I'm just not very good at prayers. I hear others lead prayers publicly, and I just can't do that. And so I can't pray. Let me show you one other prayer in the Bible before we finish. Luke chapter 18 and verse 13. Luke chapter 18 and verse 13. Here is two men. Jesus is telling a parable. One of them is a Pharisee. He knows how to say things in such a wordy and eloquent way. And on the other hand, there's this tax collector, the lowest of the low in Jewish society. Luke 18, verse 13, the tax collector standing far off would not even lift up his eyes to heaven. He didn't have the right posture. Would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And when you compare that with what the Pharisee had said, well, why is he even bothering? Because Jesus said that man's prayer was heard, not the Pharisee, the tax collector. You don't have to be eloquent. You don't have to have the right words. Just speak from your heart, a heart that is constantly being molded in the image of Christ. Oswald Chambers said this about prayer. Prayer is the vital breath of the Christian, not the thing that makes him alive, but the evidence that he is alive. Can you point to evidence that you are spiritually alive, including praying daily? We need to pray daily. And so today we ask you, are you right in the sight of God? Are you right with him? Have you obeyed the gospel so clearly outlined in Acts 2:38 as well as many other passages? You believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You know you have sinned and you want to repent of them. You're ready to confess him before others. And today, won't you be buried with him in baptism to wash away your sins? That's all that remains for some of you. Let's do it today. And if you've done that, have you been faithful? Or has sin entered into your life and taken you hostage? You need to turn away from it, repent of it, confess it publicly if it is known publicly. And let's pray about it, because God has said he will forgive. If we can help you in any way, come as we stand together and sing.
Be seated, please.
Seth is one that knows he needs prayers. And may there be many more like Seth who recognize and ask for the prayers of others. He comes this morning saying that sometimes he worries a little bit. He says, just a little bit, and nervous. And he knows he should be calmer. He should have more faith and trust the Lord more. And also he tries hard to let people know that he's not a bad person. Based on what they may see, that he's not a bad person. And those of us who know Seth very well know that. He is a kind, tender-hearted fellow who is really trying to do what's right. And so in a few moments, we are going to pray with Seth for these things, and I hope others will be thinking about their own needs as well. Also, I'm happy to tell you that we have another who has said they want to be part of our family here, and we will include her in our prayers. Rita Phipps has been worshiping with us now for a few months. She moved here from up in Virginia. She had been a member of the Main Street Church of Christ in Pikeville, Kentucky, a church I've worked with a number of times, and I know they are a strong and loving group of people. And she has come our way, and now she says, I want to be known as a member of this congregation. So Rita, would you stand for just a moment and let everybody see who you are? And be sure to greet Rita and welcome her into the family and keep her in your prayers as well. But let's bow and go to God. Our Father in heaven, we praise you, Lord, for your greatness, for your love and mercy and grace. Without that, Father, we would all be hopeless. We've all fallen short. We all have marred the image you gave us. But because of your Son, Jesus, we now have a new birth. We have newness in everything about us. Thank you for Jesus. And may we always cling to him and let nothing come between us. And Father, thank you for the church, for this marvelous institution your Son died for. And thank you for this church, Father, for these great people who love you, who love your Son, who encourage us and help us. Thank you, Lord, for this congregation. And now we thank you for Rita, who has come to be with us. Bless her, Lord, that she might be welcomed, that she might encourage all of us in her actions and words, and may we be an encouragement to her. And Father, thank you for Seth. Thank you for his tender heart, his knowledge that he needs our prayers. And bless him, Lord, as he tries to gain more calmness in his life, and as he tries to show people that he is a person of peace and kindness and love. Lord, we just pray that you'll bless Seth. And there's others among us, Lord, perhaps, that are thinking about things in their lives, needs that they face. Look upon every heart, Father, and see those needs that are not spoken. And bless us each, Father, in the way that you know is best. We thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we share the Lord's Supper together, we will sing, If That Isn't Love.
Yeah. As we prepare our minds to take the Lord's Supper, would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the day that you've given us and all the blessings that we have. We thank you especially for your Son, for your willingness to send him as a sacrifice to die for our sins and to give us hope of eternal life. Dear God, as we pray today for the fruit of the vine, we know that represents the blood that he shed for us, and we're eternally grateful for that. Pray that we'll partake of this in a way that is well-pleasing in your sight. These things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. As we pray for the bread, would you also go back to prayer with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much again for the day that you've given us, the blessings that we have. Thank you so much for that sacrifice that was made on our behalf. Pray, dear God, that as we partake of the bread, which represents the body that was given for us, we pray that we'll do this in a way in which is pleasing in your sight. Dear God, these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. While we're still gathered, it's a good time to give back a portion of what we've been blessed with. And as we think about doing that, let's once again give God thanks for all that we have. Dear Heavenly Father, we are blessed. We are so blessed to have the things that we have, to have our health, but to be blessed with monetary items throughout the week, the month, the year. And dear God, we know that none of this is of our own doing, but all of this comes from you and your will in our lives. And dear God, we pray that as we are blessed, pray that we'll give with a cheerful heart, that we will do it in a way that is pleasing to you, and that all the money that we bring in can be used in accordance with your will and to further your kingdom here on earth. It's these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Let's pray, please. Father God in heaven, we praise you, we worship you, we love you, Father. We thank you for the great opportunity that we've had today together in this building and worship you in song and preaching and prayer in the Lord's Supper. Thank you so much, Father, for our relationship with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.